All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Friday, December 29th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. As always, go and check out that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, DFSR.com/NBA, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Member chat room where we're discussing basketball leading up into all slate locks and just throwing out just general basketball discussion on a night-to-night basis. So go check that out, all covered under one subscription package, free for 3 days, and then just $34.95. Don't want to do a bait and switch. $34.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. Buddy, not that huge of a Friday here for basketball. Interesting Friday, we did see a lot more games last night, or five or six games last night, as opposed to the typical three on Thursday. So we don't get a huge sure. amount of games last week or tonight. I am wondering your thoughts, though. You know, we just rewatched part of a pretty epic Houston Celtics game from last night, where I was actually going to text you because I didn't think you were watching it. I was going to text you at halftime. Like, I was just like, man, the Rockets are just blowing the doors off the Celtics. I'm just going to do like the googly eyes or whatever. And then I'm glad I didn't, because
that's a Doug classic for those of you who don't get to text with Doug often. Yeah, the googly eyes when you know it's something you got to investigate on your own self.
So that doesn't happen. And then they just pull an epic comeback. Do you think, from a mental standpoint, that now Houston's coming on the back-to-back here, it's a pretty devastating loss for them. Harden was clearly just taken completely out of sorts in the second half by Marcus Smart. How much did that kind of factor in? We'll get into some of these games in general, but I think that it's a pretty high profile game. It was a huge loss, huge win for the Celtics, really, a huge loss for the Rockets. How much do you think that
it was an embarrassing mental breakdown for Harden last night? I mean, just watching that clip, you're right, I wasn't watching. My whole family is sick, so that's pretty sweet. I got to stay up late with the kids and wake up early with them today, too. So I'm kind of on tiredness time right now. But it was crazy watching that clip and just watching him overtly, purposefully foul Smart in a must not foul situation.
Twice.
It's got to weigh on him. Well, I mean, the first one, I think you could say, like, okay, it was just a little physical banging bodies. Like, the second one, he was just like, trying to be a bully, I guess. I don't know what the plan was at all. Like, I'm totally baffled by that play. That being said, Washington tonight, a totally different matchup. I think that he'll have his cool and calm back. Like, he's got to just be spending the whole day being embarrassed. I don't think he's going to run out there and just like do the same thing again. I think we see a determined, pretty focused Harden. He was also just awful, like just up and down, like shooting was terrible. The 8 turnovers, like just a bad game from top to bottom. So yeah, I think we'll see better Harden tonight. I'm not too worried about it going forward, but man, tough game.
Of all the superstars, I would say Harden, of the superstars that like with legit like NBA title hopes, I'm not going to count like Boogie Cousins in this category here, but of the teams, of the guys that I've put in the superstar category that have like, you know, some not completely outsized chance to make a finals run, Harden seems like the biggest head case of the group. Like we've seen just complete playoff total meltdowns for him. Like last year when he's done it multiple years where he's just kind of just completely packed it in for the playoffs. You want to say he's tired or whatever, but there is a mental aspect to his game. Like last night that doesn't reflect all that great on him at times when things are not going well. Like that second half was not going well, and he basically just blew the game through. We want to call it 1.5 pretty bonehead errors. And he's a guy that too. That's also, and we can move in. I know we spent a lot outsized time here on Harden, but he's a guy that is used to getting a ton of foul calls. This guy gets every foul call. Now
he still shot 15 free throws last night. Like last night was no exception.
People hate the fact that how often he goes to the free throw line because he has so many ways that he gets fouled or the perception that he gets fouled. You know, the rip move for the three, which they basically had to start like make a new rule about just because of him, because they were calling it every time. So for a guy, he gets a lot of fouls that are called in his favor, but man, when it was not going well, it didn't go well. Pretty awesome game though, all things considered, and we're back to him again tonight. Now they might get Chris Paul back. He was questionable yesterday, was still ruled out pretty early. I don't know if I make more of that than some people do, but when guys get ruled out really early, I feel like they're pretty far away from playing. Like they weren't even testing it in warmups or anything like that. He was ruled out hours before the game. Let's say that he's not, I'm going to guess that he does not come back today.
We'll know. It's the first game, thankfully.
Are we worried about, are we worried about the minutes here for some of these Rockets guys? We're pushing guys like Ariza had just been playing 40 minutes, basically on lock, Harden 40 minutes, Gordon 40 minutes. They're on a back-to-back here off a pretty devastating loss. Like how are we viewing the Rockets here? I mean, say with or without Paul, let's say he doesn't play. Are they still cash game viable? Are we not too worried about it? Like, where do we stand here with Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about the minutes just because the Rockets have now a really long track record of just running their guys out there irresponsibly, huge minutes just for years and years and years. So that doesn't tend to bother me very much. I guess the matchup itself could be better from my perspective. Like, you know, Washington this season, it's kind of hard to make sense of the points or the defense first position stats, just because they've had some really key defensive pieces like John Wall in particular kind of come and go, and the power forward position's been up and down, and same thing with small forward. So it's kind of tough to know what to make of them exactly, but even still, they're kind of a middle of the road pace team and on the better side of the defensive efficiency. So given that the Rockets guys are generally fairly priced thanks to playing tons of minutes all the time, I don't know if tonight's the night you want to stick your neck out and play these guys, but I'm not concerned about the minutes. So if you like the matchup, then I think the minutes will be there.
Yeah, I think I like the matchup here. This game has a really thin spread. It's Houston -1. The over-under is by far the highest on the slate at 221. So it looks like this is your classic, just the exact game you want to target. A lot of scoring, pretty fast pace, and just overall just should stay close most of the time. I think I'd be fine going back to Harden here in cash games. He's still pretty expensive, and I mean, but even at 11.8 on FanDuel, having to fill out the two shooting guard positions, I'd be totally fine with him. I like a lot of here on the Washington side too. I mean, John Wall, the price still, I mean, he's been bad the last two games, don't get me wrong, but 8600 on FanDuel, this still just seems like completely mispriced to me. I'm close to wanting to just lock him in to cash games at this price. And I'm looking at the recent game log and still not so concerned. I'm really just not so concerned with it.
Yeah, I think especially if Chris Paul's going to sit, then you see a Wall with a sort of a defensive mismatch against either Gordon or Harden, both having played big minutes on the second half of a back-to-back and not great defensive players in the first place. So I think Wall's fair value is something like 9,500, and he's just dramatically underpriced right now, still priced like a guy playing 30 minutes a game. So yeah, Wall, I'm a huge buyer on Wall. I think he's a great play for cash tonight.
I think Porter's in the discussion as well. His minutes,
like Porter too,
into the mid 30s, I think he's fine. Now they do have decent wing defenders in Ariza and PJ Tucker if they want to run him out. So Porter doesn't get a great matchup, but I still just think the pace of play and overall scoring here, I'm probably not willing to pay up for Beal. And then at power forward, we're just always just doing like the Markieff Morris dance of is he gonna play or is he not gonna play? It's just too hard to tell. And I don't think it's really hard to run Gortat out there for a lot of minutes, especially if they're gonna go small ball, because with Capella's still out, but they only played Nene 19 minutes last night. So I don't think it's mostly just the Wall. Really what I'm looking to stack here, I think, is Wall, Harden, and possibly Eric Gordon again if Chris Paul was out. And then I suppose you could take a chance on Ryan Anderson, and I just never trust that he's gonna play tons of minutes. He did last night because he was able to they were able to stay small with the Celtics for a while, but it's easy for it to go the wrong way on Anderson. Atlanta goes in to Toronto. Toronto, huge favorites here. Toronto's just been really good this season. Kind of like sneakily good. They were not a team that they don't really stand out to me as a team that is in contention with some of these other teams that we think of as really good. But I mean, they're 23-10 on the season. They're basically in second place in the East, and they have a really nice +7 point differential. And that being said, it's really hard to just figure out who to play on Toronto from a night to night basis. It feels like the two big guys in Lowry and DeRozan are always pretty fairly priced, and the other guys just don't play enough. I don't know if you have a different interpretation of the Raptors than I do, but it seems like I've barely played a Raptor this year outside of like an OG Anunoby, like when he was like played 30 minutes. It was like the minimum, right? Like, I mean, can you remember a lot of times us playing the Raptors this season?
No, I can't. Well, part of that is the Raptors have played oddly few games. I don't know if you noticed this, but the Celtics have played 6 more games than the Raptors have this season. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I thought that was a misprint. I just read that same exact thing. Yeah, like I was like, wait, 29-10 and 23-10? How are they? They must have a ton of back-to-backs
coming.
They're
tied in the loss column. Yeah, it's insane. But I think you hit the nail on the head with the Raptors. I think they have improved as a team, but that a lot of that is because they've shored up weaknesses, particularly defensively at the wing and the forward position. But that doesn't really translate to necessarily like DFS performance. Like on a new boy, as we like to call him, it's just could never get to say that guy's name correctly, unfortunately. He's a good defender, but he's not really going to provide much on the DFS end. And since Lowry and DeRozan are the offensive carries here, it's really hard for them to become values because they just have the ball in their hands so damn often and they play so many minutes. So yeah, there's not a ton to love here. Jonas Valanciunas is a guy who has peeked his head up for big tournament purposes from time to time, but he's also played 20 minutes against OKC. So yeah, it's a team full of stayaways, which is kind of weird considering they're the best point differential in the East.
Yeah. I, by the way, I know it's Anunoby. I stuck in my head that it's just like that, the mispronunciation of his name.
You can also call it Anunoby though. Either one is technically correct.
Atlanta's out of the ball. They're just all the Toronto's a great defensive team. And they're just, Atlanta's already kind of a mess. They don't play any of their guys with any real consistency. Ersan Ilyasova has seen some more minutes, and really bad teams up against Toronto is typically not where we want to stick our neck out in terms of a guy to play. Milwaukee goes into OKC. Milwaukee is pretty big underdogs here, 8.5 underdogs here to the Thunder, which I'm a little bit surprised about. Thunder been very good in the short term. They've won something like their last 6 or 7 games. And so they seem to be turning it around in terms of just like kind of getting their stuff together on the offensive end and just sort of figuring out how it is that they want to just stylize their team. I mean, with the big three guys that are just learning to play together. But I'm a little surprised by the spread here. And then I'm also just like a little bit worried about guys like even like Giannis's production in the short term, coming off a not so great game against Minnesota last night, and just really has kind of just like not struggled. He's been awesome this season. So it's not really this is not an indictment on Giannis. Giannis is like playing at an MVP caliber level. And I'm just still a little worried about like his night to night production, about these prices. Give me some of your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I think the big money player to target here is Westbrook. Westbrook had reasonable ownership even against Toronto in a terrible matchup. Went out there and put up 58 fantasy points, which made it now 6 games in a row where he's done exactly that, 58 or better fantasy points on an 11.5 salary, utterly affordable. Some of the matchups he's had in that time, Utah twice at Toronto, like he's just doing it right now, and it's working for Oklahoma City. I think he and Giannis are kind of analogous in some ways, because when they're clicking, their team does really well, but they also get more opportunity. And I think since Bledsoe's come around, I talked about this on the last podcast, but Giannis has just had the ball in his hands slightly less per the tracking data, which has led to fewer assists, but oddly fewer rebounds too. But that almost makes sense. Like, I know when I'm playing pickup Doug, and I'm you know me, I'm kind of like a Giannis type among our group of friends. But when I'm like getting in the lane and when I'm passing and distributing and all that stuff, I'm also more likely to just have my head in the game for rebounds and things like that. So I know from personal experience that might be what the Greek freak, as he and I am sometimes called as well, might be going through. But yeah, so for that reason, I like Westbrook as the big money play from this game. I'd be pretty tentative to play Giannis on these prices until we see a real come to God in terms of the assists in particular. Like, if he's only going to be a points and rebounds guy, he's just not going to justify $11,000 salary. So I'm kind of out on him until something changes here.
Yeah, I think so. I think the price has come down a little bit, so you like that. And I just still, I'm totally with you here that I'm still waiting on. There's a lot of just big money guys to play. I mean, between Westbrook, Harden, to some degree Durant tonight, there are just a lot of big money guys. And OKC is a very, very good defensive team, and they have a guy that they can throw at him in PG that can do damage to you on the defensive end. So I'd be a little bit concerned there. Don't mind Melo here in this situation, just at 6,100 on FanDuel, just as a kind of a mid-range play that these guys sometimes you need this kind of guy just to kind of round out a lineup. So I like Melo without thinking that he has really a ton of upside. Indiana goes in and plays Chicago. Chicago actually -2.5 favorites. They've been surprisingly feisty of late, and Indiana also just playing without their best player in Victor Oladipo. Oladipo has been ruled out really early for this game, which is really not a good sign. Ruled out days in advance, which is never a good sign in terms of overall injury. We did see Lance Stephenson come in and play a ton of minutes and play pretty well. He did see a price climb to 5,800, and yet he's still showing up near the top, or basically at the top of our points per dollar play. Do you think the price climb on him game over game, even though he was very good, starts to scare people off? Because I mean, we basically have him as a
I don't think so. I mean, he was played at like 85% ownership on a $4,800 price tag. It's up to 5,800 now, which is obviously not great, but it's a pretty solid matchup with Chicago. Even if they're played pretty slow, they're pretty bad defensively. So I think you'll see big time ownership on Stephenson. It seems right to me too. I'd be happy to play him in any format.
Yeah. I think that we're going to end up there, and I think the ownership on him will still be slightly lower. I don't mind Collison in this spot. He did play a few more minutes than is normal for him. And I think that, you know, part of that is because Oladipo can control some of the point guard responsibilities different rotations. And when they remove him, he can do it in a way that like Stephenson can. It doesn't seem like they want to fully trust Corey Joseph. So I don't mind paying mid-range salary here for Collison and still what marks to be a pretty good matchup against Chicago. And then on the Chicago side, I mean, how much do we want to trust Kriston 8,000? We've talked about him before, that the defensive numbers are there. You like it. Is he in the cash game discussion for you? Or is he more just like a tournament guy?
I'm not playing Kriston at 8,000. I'm not going to do it until I see a real change in the underlying skill set that had him being like a $6,000 to $6,500 player. Now, that might have been some run bad. There might have been, some minutes concerns there. Chicago's still a team that's happy to play him 24 minutes if things are going slightly off. 3 games ago, the guy scored 2 points from the field. So is that the guy that I'm going to pay $8,100 for? By the way, four games ago, he scored 10 points from the field. So basically, you're counting on some insane number of defensive stats in order to pay the salary. And that's just not where I want to be. Defensive stats being the most volatile and hardest to predict from a game to game basis. So no, I'm not playing him in cash under any circumstances at this price.
No, I'm with you. And I still think, like you said, he has crazy upside because there are few players in the league that can pile on just like, six,
yeah, seven defensive stats, sure.
Six
yeah.
or seven in a given game. And he definitely is one of them. Dallas goes in and plays New Orleans. New Orleans is minus a 6.5 favorite going in here against a pretty bad Dallas team. We talked a lot about some big money guys going into tonight's slate. And I didn't even mention guys like Boogie and Cousins here, both really pretty expensive. There's just a group of guys tonight, that are all in between basically 11,000, what's called 10-9 and 11-8. So all basically within 1,000. Harden, Westbrook, Giannis, Durant, Cousins, and Davis. At least for our purposes, all seem pretty tightly grouped. Davis, though, at a power forward, that's typically kind of difficult to roster two of them, at least on FanDuel. Can we start thinking about prioritizing his game, mostly just because of the positional scarcity?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly can. And we've talked about this at length, but a lot of times on a night-to-night basis, it's not as much about which of the big money guys you like best, but which, kind of fill gaps at bad positions. That's kind of been how it's shaken out this season. Davis has certainly scratched that itch for us, and Cousins to some degree as well. Although, the price has kind of come up a bit from the early season, and the early season insanity around the production has come back down to earth a little bit too. So, both playable, I think. I don't know if Dallas is really the spot where we want to go after them, simply because Dallas playing that third slowest pace in the league. And that tends to hurt guys like Boogie and Brow, where they're looking for both points and rebounds. And the fewer possessions that are passed around in the game, that can kind of erode away a lot of their value. So, both decent. I don't think I would shy away necessarily, but I wouldn't prioritize them either. I just have to take a longer look at the slate and figure out if this is where I want to be spending up or if it isn't.
Yeah, in terms of points per dollar of that group that I mentioned, Harden, if for our system's purposes, Harden has the highest points per dollar, then Giannis, and then Cousins. So it's all, Harden is kind of sitting on a group by himself, mostly because he just gets you can kind of factor him for like two more minutes than some of these other guys at times, like if he's just going to keep playing close to 40 minutes. So if you were worried at all about some of the minute production, it actually does become a lot closer with some of these big money guys. And I think that's going to be right. The most difficult question for people to answer tonight is when you have a night with just so many superstars, and most of them in decent, like not terrible matchups really, and any of them, none of them are looking at completely crazy bad matchups. I think trying to figure out who to sort of prioritize in that upper tier is going to be the most difficult question of the night. Hit us up with a sponsor before we get into the rest of the slate of games.
Sure. Let's talk about fantasyfactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go play DFS. If you like the salary cap game format, but you don't love playing against sharks who are putting in 150 lineups into their cash games and big tournaments, they offer free rolls for both the NBA and the NFL. I believe there's a free roll for the NBA tonight, December 29th here on the Friday, if you're listening. And then I think there's another NFL free roll, the last one of the season, coming up this Sunday. So check out fantasyfactor.com and get started playing salary cap games today.
Brooklyn goes in to take on the Heat in Miami, -6 favorites for Miami going against the Nets here. They did get Hassan Whiteside back last game, only played 18 minutes though. There's been no note that I can find about what the minutes restriction or management is going to be on Whiteside. Now, that being said, most teams are pretty smart with this and don't, if there's a minutes restriction to start, it usually just comes up incrementally, it comes up suddenly.
Yeah, and they've always been cautious with Whiteside anyway when possible, right. So I wouldn't expect things out of him tonight.
Now, there is injury stuff here because they are still without James Johnson and they're still without Justice Winslow. And we've seen these other wings. Tyler Johnson got the start last game, played 37 minutes. Dragic still only playing around those low 30s minutes. Doesn't seem like they want to go crazy with him. Olynyk over 30, Josh Richardson in the high 30s. And then they even brought in Wayne Ellington off the bench for 34 minutes, and he was great. Where do we stand here with these Miami guys? Really good matchup against Brooklyn. Do we trust, like, basically all things being equal, will we trust just the minutes from last game as the comp for tonight? Because it seems like most of their injury stuff is pretty set in stone.
Yeah, I'd be a little cautious around the bigs, like Olynyk in particular, because if Whiteside comes up to, say, 23 minutes, those should come directly out of Olynyk's pocket. So I don't know if I'd be bullish on him. But as for the rest of the Heat, I like all these plays. I mean, we talk often about teams that are somewhat fairly priced and difficult to play, except for when they have great matchups. Well, Brooklyn's the matchup you're waiting for. You know, Brooklyn, Phoenix, L.A. to a lesser extent these days. You're looking for matchups like this to deploy guys like Richardson, who you know the minutes are going to be there, and the increased opportunity and having better quality opportunities against such a bad team just makes them totally viable. So I expect big ownership out of these guys, and I would be happy to play them too.
Their prices have come up just a little bit because that opportunity has been over there in the short term. Like, you're getting up into the 6,000s for Richardson, Tyler Johnson, kind of the same thing where he's in the low sixes, I believe. He's right at 6,000 at 5,900, though. I trust his minutes. It's crazy because I actually trust his. If he's going to start, I trust his minutes more than Dragic's. I think they just don't seem to want to play Dragic a lot of minutes. I don't know if they still think he's like a little bit injured, or if he's just kind of playing banged up, or he's getting old. They think he has miles on him. I'm not sure, but the minutes for him just have not materialized at all. So if Johnson's going to start, I would actually feel comfortable with him at 35 or 36 minutes, because as a guy that was already coming off the bench. Ellington was a guy that people did play a decent amount, at least on DraftKings. He was fairly chalky, and it was looking really bad for the first half for him last game out, and then he went completely on fire from three in the second half on his way. He's a guy that probably needs to score a little bit, and I'm always still worried about bench guys, but I do find Ellington to be somewhat interesting. It'll be interesting to see, because, he was played a lot last game. Brooklyn side, forget it. You can't trust anything on that team. All right, Phoenix and...
Bad matchup.
Speaking of not being able to trust anything, Phoenix and the Kings. So the Kings are -2.5 favorites against Phoenix here. Decent total for them. And I just, this team, I vowed to not mention them, and then they kind of sucked me back in for at times this season with some of their plays. Last time they actually beat the Cavs last game, Vince Carter scored like 40 points or something like that. They didn't play their starters any minutes. Like, Zebo played 20 minutes. I don't know what the hell to do with this team. It's the best matchup you can get. So listen to their starters minutes from last game. Zebo played 20. George Hill played 38. Okay. Frank Mason started and played 10. Garrett Temple played 28. And Malachi Richardson started and played 16. And then they brought Willie Cauley-Stein off the bench for 36. And they brought Vince Carter off the bench for 30. And Vince Carter put up a 24-5-3. Like, what the I'm going to lose the explicit. We're going to lose the explicit rating on our thing here, because I'm just going to, like, I want to say, like, what the F do you even do when trying to evaluate the Kings on a night-to-night basis? And it's the best matchup we can get against the Suns.
You try to guess right for big tournaments, I think, is what you do. Zebo, I think, is pretty interesting, actually, for big tournaments for that reason. I think he had actually pretty reasonable ownership against the Cavs, around 20%, wound up playing 19 minutes. Needless to say, people were pretty disappointed with the minutes, but they weren't that disappointed with the production. He was still pretty reasonable, even on that reduced minute total. So I think you could take some floor, just because he should just butcher the Suns' front court here. And if he winds up being one of those 30-minute games, I think you'll be really happy with what you invested. The other guys, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein has actually been very, very good off the bench. Still a bench guy, but he's topped 5X on this price in the last couple games, including some rather tough matchups. So but that being said, when you have this level of uncertainty, it takes an inordinate amount of value to want to push you over the finish line, and no one's providing that here. So I'm not going to play any of these guys in cash today.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. I think I think you can throw a dart on Zebo in cash and just hope that he gets to like 27. Yeah, I think it's close. Wow. Well, here's the thing. It's because power forward is so bad. It's really not much more. It's more about how thin this position is than it is about like any great love for Zebo. Like, if you look at some of the points per dollar plays in terms of our system on FanDuel, it's less of a problem on DraftKings because so many guys are multi-position eligible that you can just end up starting like these power forward center types or small forward power forward kind of guys. So you don't really, on DraftKings, very rarely do we ever roster guys that are just power forward eligible on FanDuel. Just because well, I guess that's not totally true, but it just happens a lot less because there's so much positional flexibility. But if you look down this list of power forward guys tonight, you have Kuzma, who's actually questionable. And if he's, if we have a word on him, I think he's fine. Then you get like Jordan Bell off the bench, Ryan Anderson, that's kind of spotty. Lauri Markkanen, Zebo, Ersan. I mean, these names are bad. Like this is a bad group of names to like just to think about having to roster not just one, but two of them. So I think that's kind of where I come close to talking myself into Zebo, and I don't feel all that great about it. that's my soliloquy. Fair. Charlotte goes into Golden State. Golden State big favorites here. Not going to get Steph back again. You know, this has been basically the Durant show, though they have played Draymond. They've played Draymond a decent amount of minutes in the short term. Still kind of struggling with what to do with the point guard situation, as they don't really want to play Livingston a lot of minutes, and then McCall hasn't been all that good. Are we worried about the blowout here against the Charlotte team that's pretty bad in their own right? What do we think about maybe looking at Golden State in terms of cash games tonight?
Yeah, I mean, so for starters, yes, we're worried about the blowout. This, I believe, has the biggest spread on the slate today, right? Pardon the plows driving by my house right now. I think for that reason, you're always going to be worried about the blowout when it comes to Golden State. They obviously have shown a tendency to want to sit guys when things get out of hand. Durant played only 29 minutes against Utah. No reason to think that wouldn't happen here too. But we also know what these guys are capable of on a points per minute basis. So I really think it just comes to a value judgment on your behalf. Like, do you want to take that risk or don't you? And I think, you know, our system tends to model not based on the averages, but based on specific scenarios that are going to happen. We tend to just make a call like, yeah, they're going to play their minutes tonight, or no, they won't, because it's not that useful really to average it out. If you're out there, dream up the situation that you think is going to happen, do your research, and then make an educated guess.
I think that's kind of where I stand with it. I don't mind Clay. I know that Clay doesn't see a huge usage bump with Curry off the court. That being said, the minutes are still kind of there. He has more secondary ball handling skill or responsibilities without Curry there. He's not a guy. I mean, we've been down the Clay path here where he's kind of screwed us probably more times than I care to imagine. And I still feel like I don't mind going back to him. And then I've Charlotte side. It's just a Kemba Walker, maybe Batum in a tournament. If you're hoping that he can just, I think something's just wrong with him in general. But if you're just looking to, if you think they kind of hang in the game, it's going to be because probably one of the guys that can shoot threes is shooting really well. So that would be like Walker, kind of Batum, maybe Kaminsky, maybe Marvin Williams. That's where you would probably find value on Charlotte if they were to hang in the game. Final game of the night is the Clippers go in and play the Lakers. There is some relevant injury news happening here. The Clippers, there's some chance they get Blake Griffin back, which I think is way earlier than they were supposed to get him back. I thought he was out for a lot longer. Like, I did not think they were getting him back before the new year. Either way, he's just questionable going into tonight, and could be actually leaning toward playing. So he's questionable to play. And then going the other way, like I mentioned with Kuzma is also questionable to play in this game. What are we going to do with this game if we don't have injury news beforehand? Because Kuzma is still, I think, very much a value at power forward. And I'm worried that if he just weren't to play at all, we'd be in real trouble. What do we think we're going to do if we don't have news on this before lock?
I think if we don't have any news on Kuzma, I'm pretty interested in Julius Randle. I would assume that he would get some of those minutes, although for whatever reason, the Lakers just seem to legit hate the guy. I don't know why. He's actually pretty good on a points per minute basis, but I think you see him tick up a little bit. I think Larry Nance Jr. is obviously another obvious beneficiary, and he's kind of like the exact punt play that you like. He's 4,400, been paying that price anyway on 19 minutes a game. I think if you see him go up and you can project him for like 30, he'll be a unanimous inclusion in cash games across the industry. It's just rough because we're not going to have the news. So I think without the news, I mean, we might, I guess. We didn't last time on Kuzma. If we don't get the news, then I think it's a stay away, unfortunately, even though there probably will be some value to be had there. It's a case for playing a late swap game or just playing the late slate, I guess.
Yeah, it's brutal because he, like I said, this is a very difficult position to fill, and there's going to be someone that gets the opportunity, whether it's him, whether it's Randle, we're not going to know. FanDuel did move Jordan Clarkson from shooting guard to point guard. And I hate when that happens because he was actually just the kind of guy that we wanted to play as shooting guard. And I just don't understand, like, sometimes they're so good about moving these positions and sometimes they're not. Like James Harden's been playing point guard the entire season and he's still a shooting guard on FanDuel. Like, I don't understand what needs to happen for a player for them to like move positions. And then all of a sudden, like two games after Lonzo Ball gets hurt, now Jordan Clarkson's a point guard. You gotta be kidding me with this. But like,
Julius Randle's a center all of a sudden too. Like, a guy plays 11 minutes, but they're all center minutes.
It's again crazy. Like, it just doesn't, like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, like Ben Simmons is still a power forward. Like, he's not a power forward. Like, he doesn't play power forward. He gets guarded by point guards and he plays point guard. Like, I don't understand. There's no rhyme or reason. Right. Anyway, so this is my long complaint about I really wanted to play Jordan Clarkson at shooting guard. And I'm wondering, can we play him at point guard here with the player pool at that position is a little deeper and still his opportunity is pretty dramatic with ball off the court.
Yeah, I mean, we saw 80% ownership from him, but that was on a $5,500 price tag. So the price has jumped $1,500 in a game-over-game basis. And he's kind of average paying this price in the last two games, too. So if you think 37-plus minutes are going to be the new norm for Clarkson, I think he's probably worth this price, although it gives you a little bit more pause, of course, than it did in the sub-$6,000 range. So, yeah, Clarkson totally playable. But note that you're taking on a little bit more risk than usual just based on the price tag.
And one other guy I think you consider, Brandon Ingram, did return from injury last time. It was questionable to play, and then it was questionable whether he was just going to play the whole game because he played 44 minutes. So that's a guy that I had not adjusted in our system as of right now because we have pretty low on him. I mean, he strikes me as a guy that's like, he played 44 minutes when they still had Kuzma. I mean, could we see similar run from him tonight? Like, is he kind of the kind of guy that goes from maybe a decent play with everyone healthy to possibly just a great play if they were playing shorthanded?
Yeah, I think that Ingram's a great play. I mean, I love to the old, we're not sure if he's going to play, and then he goes out on the court and then like somebody forgets, or it's like, you know, when your kids are playing a game and you don't want to interrupt them to ask them about dinner because you don't want to break the spell. I don't know, maybe it's like that with Ingram too, where they're like afraid if they distract him will get hurt. I'm not sure, but yeah,
I think feel Ingram's like one of our guys was hurt and I just can't remember who it is. So
I'm just going to embarrass myself. I don't remember who, so I'm just going to leave everyone out there and just like assume that someone will tell me if they're not feeling good. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I do like Ingram. 44 minutes seems like a good sign. I think it's at least a good sign that he'll be back into that high 30s minute rotation. And he was an excellent play on these price points in that case. So yeah, solid matchup against the hurt Clippers and. I think he should be a good cash game option.
All right, so it could be an interesting night of basketball. I think not as big of a Friday as we're used to, but plenty of value out there to be had. And I think the biggest question most people are going to ask is which of these big money guys to play. And if you want some of our opinions, either through the numbers or through our own chat, go and check out the free 3-day trial to our projection service powered by Lineup Lab. It's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, member only chat, really everything you need to get yourself started and keep winning on FanDuel and DraftKings. So go check that out, dfsr.com/NBA. Buddy, we'll be back again next week talking more basketball. Enjoy your Friday night.
Peace.